Julianne, when we were at the facilities showcase for the high school, all the bond projects, I was like, oh my gosh, I saw your daughter, like, performing with choir.
Yes.
It's so crazy that she's in the high school.
I know. I know. She started at Glenn as a kindergartner, so it's neat to see. She's a junior now, and it's crazy to see her. But she's found her path, and it's just been amazing to watch her grow up here and go through the system.
Yeah.
And she did phenomenal. Like, that choir performance was...
It was amazing. I loved the song choice. Everything was so cute. It was so cute. And it's part of their fall show, right?
Yes. And yeah. She's going to be so embarrassed that we're even talking about her right now.
You're going to be in big trouble, Miss McCarty.
Oh, yes. I'm going to be in big trouble. Thanks, y'all. But she, yes, it is. It's like her gift, and she found her thing. And so I'm grateful to her junior high choir teacher that is the one that found that, and Laura Rakita.
She is amazing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And really encouraged that, and actually spent extra morning tutoring hours when she didn't know how to sight read. And so that love happened there.
Oh,
yeah.
And you have a son.
I do. I have a first grader. So a little bit of gap there, a junior and a first grader. And Luke is loving life. He still thinks I'm cool. I don't know how long that's going to last, but
forever.
I hope. I don't know. Like, he still, now it's like, can I have my morning kiss before you go off to the cafeteria? And he's like, Mom, can we just come over here? Hurry up. You know, so he's getting to that age. So I might not be very cool for much longer, but.
Well, you show him this episode. You put this on in the car, right? Tell him your mom's on the radio.
Yes.
And then,
yes, this is true.
Then you get to keep that cool points. Title.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Maybe not with Claire, but with Luke. No, for sure.
Yep, for yep, sure. Yep. Now, Sarah, obviously y'all are a big basketball family, huh?
We are. We are. It's one of the reasons that we moved to Friendswood. We are very excited to be in the community.
Yeah. And remind me, was it 2-3 years ago that y'all came?
We came last year.
Last year was our first year.
Yes.
Okay. Because I still remember y'all showing up to the board meeting when your husband was named the head coach. And I think, weren't y'all all in Mustang blue?
We are. We are. We bleed Mustang
and
blue.
And you're
now.
Wearing Mustang blue today.
Absolutely.
Dad loved that. Let me tell you right now, like, as soon as he saw that, he's like, good hire. No, it was awesome. Well, yeah, lots of ties to Friendswood, and we're just excited to have y'all here. So with that, welcome to season 4, episode 5 of Friendswood ISD's The Podcast with Kelsey Goals
and Sophia Armentor.
We're excited to have you join us today as we dive into all things FISD, share updates, stories, and insights from around our district. Whether you're a student, parent, teacher, or community member, we are so glad you're tuning in. Today, we are joined by Klein Elementary Principal Julianne McCarty and Assistant Principal Sarah Russell.
Thank you.
All the applause.
We are honored to be here.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity.
We're excited. And you're not new to the whole podcast thing, because Klein has an awesome podcast setup, right?
We do. We have a podcasting room in the new building. And so kids go in and use it to record their book reviews and, you know. Occasionally my daughter goes there to sing.
Yeah. We love, like, we've actually talked about that, like, with how cute that the kids are familiar with the equipment. Like, it would be precious to have a couple of Klein kiddos on, or even us go to them sometime and publish it through FISD. It would just be so adorable.
Yeah. Yes. We should set that up.
And I bet they would love a chance to get to the podcast room over there.
Yes.
It's high in demand.
I'm sure. And of course I'll do like green screen and all. I mean, there's like lots of amazing things for those kids, but all that said, they should be pros today, y'all. So hold them to a high standard.
No pressure.
Well, Julianne, you've been with Klein for a while. First as a teacher. I think actually when I started, you were a teacher, and then you were named the assistant principal, and now you're the principal. So how has this transition felt for you professionally, personally, all of the above?
Oh, Klein's a piece of my heart. I mean, it's, goodness, this will be my 17th year in education, and Klein has 14 of those, I think, maybe not that long, but it's been a lot. And I started as a Klein parent first. So I just came to a STEAM day and volunteered as a parent, was not working for FISD. And then I was like, there is something different here. Like, it just feels different. Everybody's happy, and all of the office staff and all the teachers. And so I knew I wanted to be a part of that. you know, my husband said, there is no way you're going to get a job. Like, you know, go ahead and apply. And no, I think I was the one saying no way. And he was like, just apply. Like, we live a couple blocks from the school. So I did and didn't get it the first time, but applied again the next year and got on as a third grade teacher. So I was our team was 13 at that time. It was huge. And then we split off. Winsong and Klein had a split a few years after that. And then I remained a third grade teacher for many years there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fond memories of that old building.
Yeah, yes. I know. I think Klein has always been special. You know, of course, you have this beautiful new building and it's easy to talk about that. But there was magic in that old one as well.
Like, really? Yes,
it's
definitely.
The people for sure. And I think one thing that always stands out to me about you is I think really when you were named AP, that first day of school, that first year of AP, dressing up. And I don't know that Mr. Clifford was thrilled about that.
Yes, I brought him out of his shell. That's what people say for sure. He didn't enjoy dressing up, and I made him for every occasion.
Yes.
We're doing the first day of every school year, and we're going to dress up for Halloween and any other time in between that I.
You look good, you feel good.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He did it.
And he is, love him. He was the most awkward when we would do fun like videos of
yes.
dancing, if you can even call
you
it
couldn't
that.
Get him to dance.
No. And you were just hilarious, like, loosen up. Come yep, on. You, yep. you were just like the goofy one, then he's over there like beet red.
Yes. It was awesome.
It was so good. It was so good. So that will forever be a memory of just you are in your element in that. And then he was like, absolutely. Well, awesome. Well, Sarah, you made the jump from classroom teacher to assistant principal. Now, how has this shift impacted your approach to leadership, decision making? How's it felt overall?
Well, sure. Like you said earlier, it's not necessarily about the places, about the people. And so being able to serve as a teacher at Klein, it was just such a special opportunity to get to make that move and to get to work with the people and already have some of those relationships established. And it's just been an honor and a privilege so far.
She's got the street cred too, like having been a teacher there and then, you know, having colleagues and then moving into this role. She's done a beautiful job too of the transition, because it's hard. It's hard to be a colleague and then someone's boss. Mm-hmm. And she's done it beautifully. It's just very graceful.
And I remember kind of when they're going through that hiring process. I remember hearing that from people of that there's this teacher that everyone really loves who we're rooting for, that like other teachers would say this. And so anyway, it was exciting whenever you were named for sure. Now, do you feel like having been teachers yourselves, like it's created a different perspective, level of empathy for your teachers now?
Absolutely, it has. And, you know, not just being an educator, but being a parent too.
Yeah.
It creates that empathy that we know what you're going through, and we're all here for the kids. We're all a team working together. And so it really builds that, like I said earlier, that relationship and that peace. We're able to mesh together and do it together.
Both of you guys get both sides of the coin in Absolutely. All of the situations. So you're really also there for the parents also.
It always helps when I start a phone call, you know, with some hard information. You know, I've received this phone call myself, like no judgment, because I have been a parent receiving a hard phone call from the office. So, Claire would hate me saying that too.
But you just gave away that it was Claire,
all the dirty laundry. Yeah, no. But that does, it creates a level of you're on the same playing field. Like I'm not, there's no judgment here. Kids make mistakes and we just help them through it. We guide them through it and teach them the life lessons. And that's the beautiful part of our job, is those cute conversations we have in the office with, okay, what do you think you should have done instead? That's where the growth happens.
Absolutely. And it's like, if you are able to have those conversations, teach those lessons early on, you know, maybe we don't have so many problems as an adult, but it's also that grace of like, I say this all the time. We have so much grace for kids. We don't always have a lot of grace for adults, you know, to see them on a human level of like they're living life for the first time too. Of course we think because of years and experience that they should, and there's probably times they should know differently and to act differently than they are doing,
but everybody's got their own set of experiences. Exactly. That's what I always say, right? They're a summation of just their life experiences, and I am too. So we have to give each other grace, because maybe we haven't lived through something or someone else's shoes, but
Right. And they may just be an adult body, but a kid inside that like never fully grew up or, you know, mm-hmm. was stunted in some way. And it's like, just to be able to foster again some of that growth now, it's so pivotal. I think I'm seeing that more and more as I get older and just working in education, of just how pivotal childhood is.
Oh yeah.
And preserving that innocence as long as possible. I mean, mm-hmm. it's everything.
And you guys get them from that really early age. So I know that's a big, big role to fill, but yes. And y'all do it well.
Yeah. And I think that's important for parents to know too, is like you're a partner, you know, in this journey with our kiddo. We are so privileged and honored to be able to be trusted with their kids for so many hours each day. And you do what you do because you love children. And you're only ever trying to make the best decisions you can for kids, those hard conversations, the good ones, and you're celebrating all of the victories. Like you're in those moments with them. So it's a blessing to be able to serve the way that you do. And
it's a great job.
Yeah. And it's a hard job. It's a hard job.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. It's hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's the most rewarding.
Yep.
It's all worth it.
Mm-hmm. So can you share a little bit about what led each of you into the field of education in the first place? Did you always know you wanted to be a teacher? What was your journey?
Go, you're up first. Man. So growing up, I had an aunt that was in education, and I can just remember her telling stories about her classes. And they weren't always the most exciting, inspiring stories, but they always had that piece that I'm going, man, she makes a difference in what she does. And I just knew I wanted to be like her. And so, yeah, that's led me into that path.
I didn't have any family members that were teachers, but I have an older sister, and she would always play teacher with her stuffed animals in her room. So I thought, like, that's what you do. And so I played teacher with my stuffed animals in my room, and I asked Santa Claus for an overhead projector and got it. If you can believe that. Yes. If anybody out there knows what an overhead projector is. And I would play teacher for hours in my bedroom, and then stick the bad stuffed animals in the hallway for timeout. And then that's kind of where it all
you were truly all born started. For this role.
I was, yes. I just, you know, was following in her footsteps. But we both became teachers, and so it's been neat to watch each of our journeys and how we've supported each other through that. So
oh, yeah. I remember so I'm a twin. Me and my twin sister, we would play like class with each other. And one of our favorite stores to go to, I remember like getting butterflies. Like I'd be so excited to go to the teacher supply store.
Oh, I would too. Yeah. I loved that store. I didn't need any of it.
The smell. I know. Just like all the cute little things for lessons, like decor, like mm-hmm. what we're putting in our toy room, you know?
Like, yes, I would just want it. Like the border. You know how they sell borders for like calendars or bulletin boards? Stickers. I would beg for those for no purpose.
Yes. Is that store still around?
Yes, Lakeshore is a very magical place. You should go.
Okay. It will bring back.
We are not sponsored by Lakeshore, but.
But okay, reach out to us if you'd like to.
Klein specifically.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, it's so fun to like see those like environments, and like really our teachers mm-hmm. do such a phenomenal job with the way that they decorate their classrooms. Like, oh my gosh, it's so magical. Cute.
It's their second home. Yeah,
it really is. And they put in some work during the summer to do that. It's absolutely. A labor of love.
They do. There's so many themed ones too. There was the flamingo room. I think there were lots of cozy lighting. I'm just kind of like, can this be my office?
Well, there's been a huge shift too in like flex seating. So like there really is some just cool things happening in every classroom. So yeah, it's awesome. Well, okay, so outside of your roles in education, and some people may only know you professionally, what are some things personally that maybe some people would be surprised to know about you?
Well, I am. You mentioned earlier, my husband works at the high school, but all four of my children are students at FISD. So we are a family of Friendswood. Like you said, we bleed blue. And I have two at Klein, one in kindergarten and one in second grade. And then two at the junior high, one in sixth grade and one in eighth grade. So we are all Friendswood.
No. And they go, go, go.
Yes,
they are
we
busy
do.
People.
Yeah.
We have some very involved in sports. from flag football to tackle football, basketball, cross country,
all
you,
the things.
You name it, I'm going to fill through a gym.
In your family. Hey.
You live in leggings outside of work, is what you're telling us. Okay.
Yes. Bring on the leggings and the messy buns.
Yes.
I can get on board with that.
Big fan of those. Hey, Julian, what about you? What's something you would know?
Nothing too terribly like interesting. I love reading and shopping, and my plants in the backyard are like my therapy. And goodness, what else?
Well, don't
forget,
you
don't forget baking.
Keep me busy. Baking.
Oh, baking. I do love bringing treats to work. Yes.
And what's your specialty?
You can get a lot. Like, you can make some good connections with some cookies now, okay?
Oh, for sure.
Especially food. Homemade. Like,
yes.
You take the time to do it.
Okay, I'll be going over to Klein, I think, this Christmas season for some of those cookies.
We're letting you know now we're willing to connect.
I'm willing to connect with you, too. I promise I'll do that soon.
I'm not a very good baker, but Kelsey's a really good baker.
I love to cook. I love to bake. So, yeah, I definitely relate on that level. And I love the process of making things from scratch. Like, I think it's fascinating.
Ooh, you're brave. Oh, yeah. I can't do that. No, I would get all that wrong. I can follow a recipe now, but
I need a Betty Crocker box. That's the level I'm at.
Fresh or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yes. We all start somewhere. It's okay.
Yeah, we did say we need to give Sophia a lesson in cooking. Some culinary basics, right?
Yep. Yeah. Maybe a little more than the basics, but yeah.
Easy bake oven level starting, right? Okay.
I'm with you.
That's
I'm with
you. At. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah. So you guys have to make a lot of decisions, important decisions that kind of falls on y'all. For both of you, how do you think your previous role as assistant principal, as a teacher, kind of prepared you for the decisions you have to make today?
Goodness. I mean, when you're a teacher and you feel supported by your admin, that's the main thing. Mm-hmm. And so I always want to think first, what's best for kids? You know, my decision is, like, that's why we're here. That's the sole reason we're here. So it might not be popular opinion. It might not be popular with teachers or parents, but what is best for kids in that moment is always where I start. My very next thing is, if I were a teacher and remembering back to when I was a teacher, how would this decision impact me, or how would it feel knowing that my administrator just went a certain way on something? And so many times that requires just circling back and going, hey, I just want you to understand my thinking behind this, because sometimes that can feel personal to them, or it can feel like, you know, I don't know why you made that decision. And so having that open line of communication with them is important, so I can say, this is what I was thinking, and these were all the things that I was faced with, and so I went this way with a decision.
Sure.
But definitely being a teacher at the elementary level, especially, gives good perspective, as well as being a parent of an elementary student. So
I think that clarity behind your thought process goes so far with definitely. The admin, and in any facet of life, I think.
Just transparency in general, I think is huge.
Sure. Like Julianne said, it's every decision we make is kids first.
Yep.
All the time, no matter what. Being new in this role, there have been several, probably more than several, situations where I've had to reach out and get help. Hey, Julianne, what would you do with this? Reaching out to a different mentor, and our district staff here at Friendswood has just been amazing and supportive, and just knowing that they have our back in whatever decision that we make, and keeping kids at the forefront of those decisions has been a blessing to know that too.
Now, just curious, and I love your answers, because I completely agree. I think kids should always be first. Like, that is like the number, that's why we do what we do, right? We do everything for kids. As far as teachers, what do you think are the main things that teachers need from their administrators?
They need to feel like work needs to be a place where they want to get up and go every day. So it needs to be fun. It needs to feel like a family. So creating conditions for that on their team, because that's really their small bubble, right? Is their team of other teachers. And then as a faculty, to feel like a family. And so, and you do that by, of course, like, what do families do? They eat together. They're silly together. So
they play games together.
It's important to laugh. Like, that's when you bond with people, is when you just sit with them and share a meal, or crack up laughing, or you've got inside jokes, or you hide plastic roaches in there.
There's a story I want to hear.
So anyway, those are the things that create that family feel that I think is really important to teachers, and what they need from an administrator. Because when the hard times come, they ultimately remember, well, I know your heart. I mean, I know yes. who you are as a person, mm-hmm. and I know that you wouldn't have done that, you know, with ill intent, because we've set those conditions over the years.
Just learning about someone outside of just their teacher role, just their principal role, and learning, right. which is a big reason why I think we wanted to have you guys on the podcast today, yeah. was just to learn a little bit more about outside of your role about you guys.
Yeah. I've been blessed with a Klein family of teachers, because being a colleague first with them, and then they've seen me grow in my assistant principal role. I've messed up and I've owned it. And luckily, you know, Mr. Clifford created the condition of that same family feel, so I could stand in front of them and say, I'm sorry, this went this way, I messed up. And they were with me through those growing pains. Yep. So when I transitioned into this role, I made sure to bring that up. Like, these people have been so supportive and forgiving and, you know, gracious.
Yeah.
Because in any new role, sorry, Russell, in any new role, you're going to mess up. And absolutely. Then admitting that and owning that and being vulnerable is an important part to them too.
And I think too, taking time to reflect is yeah. important too. We're not going to always make what people perceive as the right decision. Mm-hmm. And having the time to talk together and be reflective, and what could we do differently? We're always learning and growing, and yeah.
Yeah. I think better. That's huge, right? Is like, and you said that they know your heart, and I think, gosh, like, just to humanize yourself, to be able to say when you're wrong about something. Oh my gosh. I respect that so much versus like panicked, trying to cover it up, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, no, like, own it. Like, we're all yeah. human. We all make mistakes.
And it gives each other freedom. Like, you yes. give the other person freedom too, you know, or you can mess up too. And I'm going to give you grace.
Absolutely.
And give ourselves that grace too. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy.
No, it's not. That's the hard part.
She says mm-hmm. with a smile.
I know.
It's not always easy.
That's funny.
Well, I'm curious to learn how, you know, y'all are doing such a good job, and you've assumed different roles, parent, teacher, assistant principal, principal, multiple at one time. With all that said, how do you guys deal with all of the challenges that you face on a daily basis with all of the doing all of those things?
I'm going to start. Sorry, because I'm just laughing. Well, we laugh a lot. That's the answer to that question. We yeah. laugh a lot.
You're a fun duo.
Yeah. Yes. And in the moment, when the times are hard in the moment, you know, it's a game face, and it's the action and what's next, what's next, what's next. And if I make this decision, how's it going to impact a domino over here? Or so, but I'm laughing because Miss Russell, in her first 9 weeks here, so many times has come in my office and shut the door, and I just didn't know. Like, oh my gosh, I mean, does this really happen? Like, this is real life? Yes, welcome. Welcome to the dark side. It's, you can't make it up. That's your famous line. You can't make this stuff up.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, retirement for me is going to include a book writing deal for sure. Like, of course, I'd have to change names. But there are so many stories of this cannot... Is this true?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so all of that we shield from teachers and kids, and we want their day in and day out to be as least chaotic and just, you know, chill as possible. But it's been fun to watch her come to this side, and then her eyes
see
wide.
It all for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's particularly a biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge, I would say, is keeping everyone happy. And so I've, as a leader, have grown in that way. Like, it's impossible. I mean, you start in this role and you think, mm-hmm. I've got to juggle all of the plates at one time and spin all the plates and keep everybody happy, because there are so many different stakeholder groups that we serve.
Yes.
But it's impossible.
Yeah.
So one decision is not going to, unless you're just giving away free money, right, is not going to make every person
happy.
Which
we know
happy
does not happen.
And does not happen. So really is being living in that. It's okay. It's okay if mm-hmm. people are mad. It's okay if things didn't go the way that they wanted. And it's okay if kids feel that same thing too, because that's a life skill. That's learning defeat or learning mistakes. And you know, as going back to those conversations with kids, I love just sitting there and going, this is okay. This doesn't define you. This isn't who you are. Yep. Like, you're going to keep making mistakes until the day you die. Your parents are, your teachers are, your coaches are, and that's just part of being human. But We learn from it and we go, oh, I'm not going to do that next time. And we make better choices next time. So I think I really got off track on that question.
No, I think that really goes back to what we were saying
what
earlier.
What was the question again?
I think that I would guess that that is one of the biggest challenges because people there are a lot of probably hands that go into decisions being made, but I think people think the entire thing falls on you. So you're really that face.
When you're the face of it. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Like for your campus, you're the face of those decisions. For the district, that is the face of those decisions. Right. Even though it's like people don't see all of the hands or all of the conversations or hours of work that go into it, stress that go into those decisions. Right. They just hear the delivery and they may not love it.
And there are many times that you can't share all of the ins and outs because of confidentiality. And so they view maybe a decision that I made as incorrect or, you know, I can't believe she did that. And I don't have the opportunity to sit and explain everything from all the vantage points.
But I think people can appreciate just how transparent you are with everything that you can be with, and that helps. Sure. And like you said earlier,
I can't share all this because X, Y, Z.
And if the roles were reversed, you wouldn't want me to share.
Yes.
About your child or, you know, confidentiality.
And I think it kind of goes back to also what you said about giving adults grace sometimes.
Yes.
You know, there is things that we don't always understand because we don't have all of the information.
Right.
But I think that you providing a lot of information and the information you can provide is you're already going like the extra mile to do that for people.
I hope to.
We're trying.
Greatest challenge, Miss Russell?
Greatest challenge.
Nice transition, Miss McCarty.
You like how I deflected right there?
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Miss McCarty.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Miss McCarty. In your spare time, you can take on that gig.
Oh, sure. Right.
We have so much of it. So to segue into that, I think probably my greatest challenge would be that time management piece. As a mom of four, I thought I was really great at making my calendar work and multitasking and marking those things off the to-do list and checklist. But it's been a challenge this year and because there's so much I didn't know I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so learning the things and having to swallow my pride and ask for help has been a bit of a challenge, but I've been very, very fortunate and blessed to get to work with Ms. McCarty and the team. And it truly takes a village and everyone, we get by with a little help from our friends and they've really taken me under their wing and helped me to grow in that way. So I'm very thankful.
She sent me a picture last night. She was sitting on a basketball court, her legs extended with these cute little heels and her laptop in her lap. And so all I see is like the laptop and the shoes. And she was like trying to work on our project for tomorrow on the basketball court while she's watching her son's game.
Dedication.
And she was like, there's no Wi-Fi. I
couldn't get to connect.
And so, this is a job that we take with us. It doesn't just end there. It's a full-time gig and she's doing a great job, but we also have to draw some boundaries.
I'm working on that as well.
I'm right there with you, sister. As y'all know, I just started in this role too. And so a lot of the things you're saying about learning to ask for help when you thought you knew it all and then accepting that help and also just all the things you didn't know you didn't know.
Right.
And the time management thing, like I did college and worked full time at the same time. So I thought my time management was pretty on par. Yeah. And then I go into, you know, my first big role as in a full time job. And I realized that there are a million little things and I got to figure out which ones to prioritize.
Right. Yeah.
You know, before it kind of was up to me what I prioritized. So, you know, I can totally relate with the transition of another position like this. So.
Yeah. And we're not even in y'all's boat yet. We're like, of all the things to juggle, I'm entering phase.
Oh, but, okay. Yeah.
But with children and schedules and, you know, like.
I know. I can't imagine basketball games after work.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's my Netflix time.
You lose that. That's not a thing anymore. No. I may as well cancel my subscription at this point.
Well, y'all are superstars. I think shout out to women in general. I think overall, like there's a lot we have to juggle, a lot of roles we have to play. So
most definitely.
Amazing. Okay. So what would you say? Less exciting topic than talking about basketball games and heels and no Wi-Fi. But what are your priorities for Klein this year? Like, have you established something new coming into these new roles? What would be your top priorities?
Well, I got to be a part of the build. So that was a blessing in itself, just because in a smaller district like this, they don't say, here's your building and this is the cookie cut design that you get. I was a part of the design team. So we literally took it from Legos, you know, just dreaming it on a table and then seeing it come to life has been a whole new thing. Well, now in this role, I go, okay, now we've built this beautiful building with specific things in mind, student collaboration and being open, really visible learning is really what that building was designed around. And so then it's the weight of, okay, what do I want to do next? Or how do I want to best utilize this? And I've just had on my heart, I guess, for the past couple years, that I really want parents to be more of a part of our school than just when they're volunteering for PTO or when they're coming in for lunch with their students, because education has changed so much in the time just from when we were in school as youngsters. And then now it is night and day difference. I was just having this conversation this morning when we did a tour with a busload of parents and community members. It's just so different. And I think that if we could bridge that gap, yep, and have people see that, and they can't take off work and they can't come, maybe they can't join the tour. So one of my visions or goals is to really have parents be more of a part of what's happening inside the classroom, to educate them, to have teachers feel more comfortable with having parents in their class. So for me, I'm thinking like lives, live streaming, and Sophia's helping me with that, mm-hmm, with getting all that set up.
Yes.
But I want to do 1 in 9 weeks this year, and I might do more next year. But really with the intent of having parents see inside our building and see what we do and see the fun environment and what it means to be a kid in a Klein classroom or an FISD classroom right now is so fun and different. And how we individualize learning for kids. It's no longer every child sitting in a row and listening to the teacher who's the master of all knowledge and they're disseminating the knowledge. It's just not like that anymore. It's collaborative. It's, yep, what if, it's inquiry learning. It's making them think for themselves, because that's really the world that we have to prepare them for. So I'm excited just to invite parents in to see from the inside. Like, we've got a new committee this year, the science committee, parent committee with PTO. And I just want them here, like, just get in our mess. Come, yeah, on, like, mm-hmm, join in the fun. And so we've had some volunteers come and sign up, quite a few, and they set up the lab for us and then they help, oh, run the lab. Now we have to teach them, like, don't tell the kids how to do the lab. This is inquiry process. So you're asking questions. And so that we've had a lot of positive feedback from that. So really my main vision is that the school is the hub. It's the center of our community, and it needs to feel like that, mm-hmm, not just one day a year at Kleinfest or,
right,
when you happen to come in and have lunch with your kiddo because you took a day off of work. They really need to feel like they're a part of it and they own it and they know what happens behind, because a lot of assumptions are made.
Yes.
And then a lot of opinions kind of go wild. And so if I can help to mitigate that and really just educate, like,
yes,
this is what we do. And let me tell you how intentional, when this teacher's sitting here reading this book at the carpet, oh, it's not just reading a book. I mean, mm-hmm, she's already pre-planned her, you know, in-depth questions that she's going to ask. And she's, yep, planned turn and talks, and she's planned opportunities for the kids to respond. This is a craft.
Yep.
This is an art, and it needs to be celebrated that way. So I really have a passion for bridging that gap.
Especially because if the parents can see some of the ways that the school is using to teach their children. And I think, like in the last episode, we were talking about a lot of the language that's
used. PBIS. Yeah, it was our last, right, one.
You know, they can take that, maybe if they want to, if they choose, they can take that, yeah, into their home and help their kids with learning at home. And
yes,
so I think that, you know, letting the parents be aware of like the resources that are available,
right,
that,
right,
they can use is important.
For so, sure. Can I just say ditto on my answer?
That's a perfect answer.
I mean literally, she hit the vision for Klein. Mm-hmm. It's just that we want to show the community and not just tell them we're doing writing right now. We really want to show them, like, what does writing look like in 2024? It has changed a lot. And
to give them those glimpses and that vision, the actual vision of seeing what's going on in the classrooms is really powerful.
And then outside of the classrooms too, you saying writing made me think our kids do the writing and do the book reviews and then go into a podcasting room to record it because that is that extension piece, or it might be something they do in their future. It might spark some new love they didn't know they had, or they might be comfortable sitting right here with a mic in their face like I'm not. But yeah.
Well, you know, you're sitting with the perfect pair too right now to help promote some of these things. I'm just gonna let y'all know.
Yeah. So hey, we gotta talk.
Yes. Yeah. So we need a meeting after
bring
this.
Bring us in, because I Klein is, I'm sure everyone's seen it, but it's beautiful and it's a great space to be in. So please invite me over there more.
We just
for sure.
And like the greatest part of our jobs is like, and we say this, like sometimes it's like, if you just need a pick me up, you just need a smile, like we're going on a campus, you know,
specifically one with the little ones.
The little ones
are so great.
We're a little partial to them. They're just too cute.
It fills your soul. It really does.
It does. And like, I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a classroom. I have no idea who the kid is. And the kid's like coming up and giving me hugs around the legs. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to cry. Like, this is the sweet.
Yeah. You walk in there with a camera and suddenly you're a celebrity.
No, we do that in a room of adults and we're the most hated people.
Yes.
On
yes. yes.
But the kids, they love it.
Yeah. Don't go into a cafeteria. I've learned that the cafeteria is where you're the most popular.
Oh yes.
I would say.
Well, they're the goofiest. It's like they're more of their free time. They're getting a little energy from what they're eating. So they
can flag you down.
They will. And they will. Oh yeah. And they will. Yeah. No, it's so fun. Yeah. They're so goofy. I love it. I love going into the classroom. So yes, if y'all, whatever needs to be promoted, I hope that you're reaching out to the outstanding.
Oh, I've already got.
We've
already talked.
Already on my phone and my emails, calendar. But we need to get that live stream.
Now, if you could teach me how to take beautiful pictures the way that you do, that's what I need in life.
Oh my goodness.
See, I don't know why your pictures always look so much clearer. And
we have good cameras. I will say that.
Looks I have that at home too. And it's a skill. It really is. You're not owning that.
See, I'm deflecting now.
You are.
You're like, this podcast is supposed to be about you guys. Not me.
I mean, I'm fine with the attention sometimes. It's okay. No, it's okay. Well, kind of what you said. So, you know, one thing we do twice a year, once in the fall, one in the spring, is we have our Mustang senior citizens come. And I think that's one of my favorite things, is showing them just how different school is today.
Yeah.
So I think one thing, you know, Friendswood in general is so rooted in its legacy, right? Like the foundation of faith, family, education. And that's a beautiful thing. And I think that's part of what makes this community so special. And I think it's important, right? And maybe y'all can talk about this a little bit more, is we're not taking away the legacy. We're not taking away the foundation. Friendswood is still like doing the beautiful things, but we're also adjusting to the changing world that we live in, right? So so with education constantly changing, I guess, how would you say you stay up to date with like the best practices for our kids? Like, I mean, you don't make decisions lightly, right? Like pretty much everything's data driven. But just talk through that a little bit.
I mean, there's she's pointing at me. obviously we're a part of networks and groups online that really keep us up to date and knowing what's coming. But education is it evolves so quickly and changes so quickly. And really the climate, especially public education, can change so quickly. So it is important to really not only know what maybe the next newest thing is, but really how everyone read the room, essentially, and know how everyone's feeling or what the underlying vibe is, and then how I can help with that. If it's a matter of clearing something up or education piece, you know, training people, that's a part of this job. So we always want to stay on the forefront of what's groundbreaking, right? And how we can prepare our kids to be those productive workforce members in the future, which really is scary because we don't even know what the workforce is going to look like. And we think that we do now, but in 10 or 20 years, it's going to evolve so much that if we don't stay ahead of it now, the gap will be that much bigger for them. So
very true.
It's hard knowing what that's going to look like, but with the ability and to the degree that we can, we're going to We're going to make it as future forward as we can. We're very blessed to have a strong FEF Ed Foundation.
Yes.
And so if there's a wild idea or a new tech toy or a new, classroom thing that teachers want to do, goodness, that's our biggest blessing here in Friendswood, is that we've got the support.
Yes.
And all we have to do is ask, and somebody is going to figure out how to make that dream mm-hmm. happen. So we're not fighting that battle. That's huge. Again, what was the question?
ADHD.
How can you tell? I have a little ADHD.
It's all good. You're in good company here. Let me tell you. But no, just how everything has evolved and like just keeping up with the times. I mean, we face that in our realm too, right? Communication. I literally remember my first class, first day of undergrad, defining mass communication is that there is no definition because it's mm-hmm. ever changing. And mm-hmm. I feel like education is very much that way. It's hard because we're tied to certain mandates, set right. by the state.
Right.
But we're also trying to be innovators at the same mm-hmm. time. And it's a really hard balance, but I think we would be failing kids.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I'll show my age a little bit, but I graduated less than 10 years ago, high school less than 10 years ago. So,
ouch.
So I am a baby, but at the same time, I go into these classrooms with these kids and even in high school kids, and they're learning eons above what I was learning
yes.
at that one time. And with the resources they have, they're growing up and getting out of high school with a career base already there. Right. Whereas whenever I was graduating, going out of high school, it was kind of like, okay, what next?
Yeah. And yeah. I think kind of to your point, there's a stat, I know we've watched a video in like our district leadership team meeting before on like, I think it's like 70% of the jobs that will be here, like for our kids today, like do not exist currently.
Right. We don't even know what it looks like.
We don't even know what it looks like. So it's like, of course, teaching as much as we can for what we know, but it's also teaching adaptability. It's teaching that flexibility, mm-hmm.
the soft skills.
Yeah. Yes. Which is so important that's what they even say with, like when you interview, they actually mm-hmm. look more, if you've gotten an interview, they see the hard skills, right? Like you have those, but they're looking for the soft skills and, yep. There's kind of a gap in that sometimes, right?
Sure.
And
definitely.
Especially with like, and don't even get me started on AI, but especially with, everything is online now and a lot of things you don't need to be in person. So you're not learning a lot of those soft skills. You can kind of coast by without mm-hmm. them. And it's very important to realize that like we still do use those and they can get you lots yeah. of jobs. So
thinking of that, our new building really does focus on some of those things like the collaboration mm-hmm. skills. Every pod has a collaboration space where kids can go out and write on the wall and work on group projects and sit on a couch and think through things as a team. That's a life skill that they need to be yep. Ready for. And then if you've been inclined, there are these massive learning stairs is what we call them, but essentially, it's a huge wide staircase that a whole grade level could fit on and a big screen that comes down from the ceiling with a projector. And it's really cool on days that we see kids. So teachers will reserve that space, have kids go and have their class sit on the learning stairs. And one student at a time comes to the front and presents on that big screen. Mm-hmm. And they present, it's a culminating project or whatever they've just completed. But that's, just think about being a kid. I never had that opportunity. I mean, you may have had to go up in front of the class
right.
and, for spelling bee or something, that might have been really the biggest scary thing that you did if you chose to do that. But giving them those skills of being comfortable just public speaking and standing in front of a group talking and working on a project and seeing it through to completion and then being able to speak about it and be the expert at that topic, whatever it is, those are huge social mm-hmm. skills and life skills that we need to prepare them for now. And then every campus builds on that.
Mm-hmm. And y'all have always done, of course, again, you have a facility now that really helps facilitate
it
those
does,
skills.
Yes.
But Klein, that's one thing. And of course, this is across the district. There's always been such a focus on character. Of course, Klein is very much bucket filling and it's just teaching these kids beyond just academics, like to be good people
and leaders. So leadership is a huge part of our campus, and we want students to see themselves as leaders. And so we have a Leaders in Action program. Miss Russell, I'm doing all the talking.
No,
Tell us about the Leaders in Action
program. I'm really enjoying listening to you guys.
She's exhibiting her listening skills.
Yes. Okay, carry on. I want to hear about Leaders in Action.
Oh, please.
I think we want to hear from Miss Russell, actually.
Yeah, all eyes on you. All ears and eyes will be on you.
Man. So, yes, we do have a Leaders in Action program. It's really geared toward our upper elementary, third through fifth grade, but they have the opportunity to peruse a variety of jobs that we're offering, and they're led by teacher sponsors. And yeah, they just get to find something that interests them, that they have a passion in, and it's a way to help around the school. And they fill out an application. I want to say, do you remember how many applications we had?
Well, for the first 9 weeks, we accepted 300 applications.
300 applications.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so, it was amazing, but it also taught some kids didn't get jobs. And so that soft skill of having to accept failure and be able to move on from that. So I want to back up to your question before about the best practices.
Yeah.
I wanted to brag on our teachers and our instructional coaches for a second.
Yeah, do it.
We love it.
Oh, girl. I know. See, while I was listening, I was like, how do I keep up with all the practice?
I just thought you were spaced out over there.
What? Come on. No. Listening and thinking. It's hard for us. So we are instructional leaders and we are boots on the ground in the classrooms, but it's hard to know all the things about all the things. And so we have to rely on our experts, and we're very blessed with great instructional coaches, great teachers that collaborate and work together. And we have these planning days throughout the year that they're able to do that and bounce ideas off of each other and just really learn and grow together.
Yeah.
And that's been a really cool thing to see. As a teacher, I got to do it and work with those amazing people. And now to kind of see it happening from that different view has been, it's been really, really amazing to see just what talented people we have.
And instructional coaches, that's a piece that we stay up to date on. You know, when you're talking about staying up to date in the curriculum world, we're not able to know, like she's saying, all of the new things. And so those are our two experts on campus that stay abreast of everything new, and then they go into the classroom and they model it. And so what an instructional coach does is very similar to what you think of a regular coach, a sports coach. They encourage, they say, hey, try this. Hey, let me teach you this new way of doing things. And so
and they teach us too.
Oh, yes, all the time. And so they go in, it could be a modeling lesson, it could be a co-teach where they teach a lesson with a teacher. There's something called a coaching cycle, which takes a teacher through a whole cycle of continuous improvement, essentially is what it is. But they have those talks, they're vulnerable with the teachers. The teachers say, I don't know really what guided reading, I thought I knew what guided reading was, but can you come in here and model? And so the coach will sit at the small group table and take them through a lesson cycle and show them how to really individualize that instruction for kids. We don't sit in front of a classroom and everyone receives the same lesson. We go to a small group table and we group you by ability and by skills so that you don't feel uncomfortable at that table. And then the coach gives those teachers the lessons and the help they need to really individualize that student instruction.
See, so kids, you never stop learning. Even the teachers are learning the same exact way.
Yeah. Exactly. Always. Like there's a level of support, an additional maybe layer of support for students that maybe wouldn't be provided if we didn't have these instructional coaches who are, they're fabulous on every campus. And then again, it's all for the benefit of the kids at the end of the day. Like if the better we can prepare our teachers to thrive in those environments, then the more our students thrive, you know?
Right.
It's awesome.
Wow. That was a squirrel moment.
Yeah, sorry.
Good job, Russell.
Yeah.
Hi. Coaches are going to love you.
Do they bake cookies?
You know, I haven't seen any cookies from the coaches. That's where they're lacking. They need Julianne and Kelsey to go in and help them, show them how to do that.
They could be great cooks.
How would you say you guys engage parents in the community in school life? Right now.
Oh, well, gosh, we in Friendswood are so blessed. I came from a bigger district where parent involvement was not a thing. I mean, you couldn't call them on the phone. They saw the caller ID and didn't answer. Parents here are, they're eager and ready, and they want to be a part of the school in any way that they can. I can't tell you how many times a parent will stop me and just say, whatever you need, like, if there's a way I can help, I want to help, but I don't know what that is, but just remember my name. And that's a big blessing for us. And so how are they a part of the school? Goodness, they live and breathe. I mean, they're in it all the time. Our PTO is massive because people just want to be involved and help in any way that they can. It's a beautiful thing here in Friendswood. So we just wrapped up our annual Klein Fest last weekend. And Miss Russell has some good stories there with some pie in the face situations.
I'm still trying to get whipped cream out of my hair.
Oh, it's no. Like,
it got dried and baked on my hair.
Oh, I thought
the dunk tank would wash it off, but, you know, no, it didn't. So, yeah.
Now, did they give, like, I don't know if this is released yet. Are there final numbers for the
There
Klein Fest?
Are not final numbers. Not yet. So I don't have that to release
yet. So be on the lookout for that.
I know we'll be very proud of it. Our PTO works hard.
They're amazing.
They are amazing.
So parents are always there helping, goodness, from just refilling the recess bucket with new, you know, airing up the balls and refilling the buckets. Things you don't think about that need to happen to run a school.
Yeah.
That teachers don't have time to do. Administrators don't have time to do. We're blessed with parents that will sign up and look for opportunities just to come help in any way they can, from big to small.
And they love on the teachers too.
They do.
They love on our teachers.
Well, would you guys, after everything that you've said and having this new role now for a little bit, is there any advice that you would give your younger self for just starting out in education?
Ooh, that's deep.
It is. I wasn't prepared for that one.
I'd say be okay with mistakes and be okay with messing up and owning it, because my younger self would have just covered it up, or, oh, well, I didn't, you know, and that was part of growing into leadership too, is being able to admit that didn't go the way I planned it to go. And so I would to my younger self, or any younger person, younger teacher starting, you know, there's this element in a teacher's personality. We're kind of type A and we like to be perfect and we like to have a schedule and a checklist and we want all the things to happen just the way that we imagine them in our head. And as you get older, you realize that the beauty is there in the mistake. And then this took a totally different direction, but let's roll with it. And then some beautiful conversations or beautiful mishaps, you know, happen in those moments with kids, and letting yourself let go of the control is, I think, the biggest life lesson. Control is just that's a facade. You can't, I mean, there's no control. Just let it go.
That's a life lesson I'm learning right now.
Let it just happen, because really you're not your true self when you're guarded and wanting all the things to happen exactly as you think they should. Just live in the beauty of being with the person right in front of you and making the genuine connection with that person. And however it happens, it happens.
Well said.
And the list will never get done, Russell.
I'm really trying though, that list. I think the advice I would give to my younger self is to always look for that positive, because we're going to have tough days. We're going to have hard days, and to look for what good we can see. I actually sent Miss McCarty a picture this morning from my morning devotional that said those same things. We're going to have hard days, and they're not going to go the way we think they're going to go. But even within that, just looking for the beauty and the good is so important, to try to stay focused on that positive and, you know, be able to shine bright and just do your best.
And I think that's how people seem to stay so nice here in Friendswood, is a lot of people are trying to do that very same thing. And it's definitely something I've noticed.
Yes, for sure.
Now, what is, like, we're looking, we did a reflection, right, on the past. What is your vision, or what is your hope for the legacy you leave on Klein moving forward?
Oh, goodness. I wish I would have had these questions ahead of time.
But then you would have, your type A would have planned it too much.
Right. I would have pulled out my note card and said, okay, let me tell you this.
Exactly. And then everyone would have known you were reading. And it was just no.
Oh, this is where AI would have been a real big help. Okay. What legacy do I want to lead? You know, I relate it so much to parenting in that they're not going to remember. Like, it's not important that I get all the checklists done and answer all the emails in 48 hours, because that's impossible. And, you know, do all of the things perfectly. But my vision or what I want my legacy to be is that I left a good feeling. So no one cares if you completed all the paperwork or if that's not what they're going to remember in 10 years. Just like my kids at home, they're not going to remember, you know, all the games that I got them to on time, or all of the sporting events, or all of the schedule. Do you know what it took to run this household with four boys? You know, they won't remember that. But what people do remember is how you make them feel. And so for me and my legacy on Klein is the connections with people, big people and little people, and how I make them feel. So I can get lost in all of the protocols and all of the things that have to be done. But at the end of the day, it only matters how you impact the world around you and how you make people feel. So that's the legacy I hope to leave. It's just that I made people feel good.
Yeah. Those relationships are huge. Kids, staff, parents. This is an old quote from Capturing Kids' Hearts, but people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's so true. If we can help them realize through the relationship building how much we do care, and not just about academics, but about them as a whole people. And it's so important to keep those relationships strong.
Okay, I'm going to quote you on your interview. I remember a quote, a Russell quote.
Goodness. Ooh. Goodness.
It's actually written on my vision board in my office. Yes. I don't know if you know that. Is that creepy?
Maybe.
The quote is, "Speak the truth with love." Oh, yeah. And that came out of her interview. And she really lives that. So she does. There are times that you've got to have hard conversations with parents and teachers and
kids.
And as long as they feel that you love them and you're speaking those hard things with love, that's really what matters. That's legacy.
Well, and I think, just to commend both of you, I think your the legacies you hope to leave, you are already imprinting. You both have just beautiful hearts. I think that's so evident. Of course, just having had more conversations really with you, Julianne, but now really getting to know you better, Sarah. You are doing the good, right? You are making the good happen in this world. And we know your heart. Thank you. Your love for what you do, and you're doing a beautiful job.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank
you. Klein is home and family, and we're just happy to be here. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been happy to have you here on our podcast today.
Thank you. Very honored.
Yeah. I couldn't believe. What? You want to talk to me? Okay.
Well, it was an easy choice. Mm-hmm. We've actually had you on our list when we brainstormed this summer. We just know y'all are awesome. And again, getting to have everyone learn a little bit more about the two ladies leading Klein.
Mm-hmm. And how awesome you guys are.
I get to brag that I beat Coach Russell on the podcast.
Oh, yes.
Would Coach Russell have an interest in being on the podcast?
Oh, and yeah, that's a good idea.
I just want applause for that.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome.
I love
awesome.
That dig. I love it.
Well, thank you all so much for being here today. And again, we just appreciate you and all that you do for Friendswood ISD.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity.